Morgan for Monitor. A couple in New Hampshire claim they saw a flying saucer and that they were captured and taken aboard the saucer. Some will undoubtedly find their story incredible. Some may even find it persuasive, but they do give a vivid account of it. And we'll be hearing from them right after this music by Roger Williams. On a September night in 1961, Betty and Barney Hill of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, were returning home from a vacation in Canada. And that night, they had a deeply disturbing experience. They sighted an unidentifiable flying object, and shortly thereafter, both went into a seeming state of amnesia for a period of 2 hours. Neither Betty nor Barney has a conscious recollection of those 2 hours in their lives. However, their anxiety about the incident led them to Dr. Benjamin Simon, the distinguished Boston psychiatrist and neurologist. Dr. Simon decided to use hypnosis in the hope that the Hills could be induced to go back in time and reconstruct the event. The couple underwent this psychotherapy for almost 7 months. Their sessions were tape recorded separately, and they told almost identical stories of what took place during their 2 hour period of amnesia. According to their accounts, they were abducted by humanoid creatures and taken aboard the flying saucer. The entire story is in a forthcoming book entitled The Interrupted Journey by John G. Fuller, and excerpts are in the current issue of Look magazine. This week, Long John Nebel, who is the host of a conversation program on station WNBC in New York, interviewed Betty and Barney Hill.
As I understand, Mrs. Hill, you and your husband Barney were beginning a night drive back from the Canadian border down U.S. 3 through the White Mountains. What actually happened?
It was a bright, starlight night. It was a harvest moon.
Mm-hmm.
It was very bright. We're driving along, and I was watching the sky. And suddenly, beside the moon, I noticed what I would consider a new star. Only this star was much larger and brighter than any other star in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I called Barney's attention to this.
I brought the car to a stop, and we got out. Betty took the little dog and put... We had a little dachshund dog with us. And while watching the object in this standing position, now it rapidly came over in our direction. I then remarked to Betty that obviously it must have been a commercial plane on its way to Canada, where we had been. It reversed itself by turning west toward the state of Vermont, completing the turn, and coming in toward us. And that's when we both returned to the car and began driving southward again.
Can you describe this to me? What did it look like to you, Barney?
Yes. At that time, it looked like a light in the sky. It had no physical structure from the position we were at that time. And it seemed to have been winking, as if in revolving. It would make a winking kind of... it had a winking kind of effect.
Well, now... You indicate in the article that John Fuller wrote for Look magazine, as well as in the book, The Interrupted Journey, that for some reason, you say, you can't explain, but you found yourself moving across the road into the field directly toward the mysterious object. Now, at this time, you were close enough, I think, to be able to give me a description of what you saw at that time.
Yes, that's correct. I looked over through the passenger side of the windshield, and lo and behold, this object had now descended quite low. I would say its lowest descent at this point would have been about 200 feet away. This is my rough estimation. I became determined that I was going to now identify this as something natural. And I got out of the car, and as I stepped away from the car with the binoculars, the object shifted from the passenger side across Route 3, the highway, where it became stationary over this field on the far left side. And I began walking away from the car, off the highway, into the field, and I could determine then that it had a physical structure. What was so amazing, I shook my head several times with disbelief, that it had the characteristics of the so-called flying saucers, and I definitely, prior to this experience, did not... believe in flying saucers. I more or less was closed-minded about it.
Well, now
I wasn't interested, you might say, in flying saucers.
Well, many people use the term flying saucers, but I'd like to have you tell me: did we have portholes? Did we have windows? Was it shaped? Was it saucer shaped?
It had this so-called saucer shape, and I think this was irritating because I wanted it to take on an identity, you might say, of something tangible, like a flying conventional craft. And walking across the field, looking at it with 7x50 power binoculars, I could discern what I described as figures moving about. There was a large window that seemed to circle this craft, and it was on a rakish angle, pointed down toward the ground. I then would roughly estimate its descent at about 100 feet. It was huge in size, and I could discern these figures, and there was one particular figure that continued to look back in my, or look down in my direction. Several others stepped with one step, I would say, away from this paneled glass and seemed to be not reaching for levers. I only say this because I then saw what I thought were appendages, arms going in up. And there were two red lights on the side of this craft, incidentally. And I noticed that the lights began to part away and became the extension of a fan or fin-like type wings. I pulled the binoculars away from my eyes, dashed back to the car, and remarked to Betty, I said, "Oh, my God, Betty, they're going to capture us." This is all conscious memory of the experience. You might say this
is... You can remember this without
Without hypnosis.
Without hypnosis.
Yes. This was all in the conscious memory. I entered the car, put it into gear, and told Betty to look out the window. It was moving overhead of us, and she looked out, and I heard a beeping sound. She also heard this beeping sound. And later, we are now arriving in the Ashland-Plymouth area, and there was another series of beeps. And Betty's remark was, "Well, now do you believe in flying saucers?" And my remark was, "Of course not, Betty. Don't be ridiculous."
Now, this is Morgan again. Of course, the really curious and interesting thing here is, between those beeps the Hills heard, according to the story, there was a two-hour lapse in time, 2 hours of their lives that were unaccounted for. Yet neither was aware of the loss in time until it was pointed out to them months later. We'll continue very shortly with Long John Neville's interview with Betty and Barney Hill. And when you hear these beeps, friends, there'll be a lapse of only 65 seconds on the monitor beacon. We're back. How's your brain? We're going to continue our monitor interview with Betty and Barney Hill, the New Hampshire couple who alleged that they sighted an unidentifiable flying object outside the village of Lancaster, New Hampshire, on an evening in September 1961. After a period in which they remained silent about the incident, the Hills submitted their story to scientists and eventually sought the opinion of Dr. Benjamin Simon, the eminent Boston psychiatrist and neurologist. Dr. Simon used hypnosis to help them relive the events that took place in a two-hour period after they had sighted the UFO. These sessions were tape-recorded separately, and their stories about being taken aboard a flying saucer and being examined by humanoids were remarkably similar. Long John Neville now continues his talk with the Hills about their experiences, which they themselves learned about only from hearing the tape recordings made under hypnosis.
Mrs. Hill, now you have been hypnotically regressed a number of times, and Barney Hill has also been hypnotically regressed by Dr. Simon. And you have heard, I imagine, all or most of the tapes that are of any value. Now, can you pick it up from that point to tell me what actually happened during this 2 hours, according to hypnotic regression, that is, according to your answers to Dr. Simon's questions? You were captured by these humanoids and taken into the craft. Is that true?
Basically, that's true. That's the information that was recorded on the tapes under the hypnosis.
How were you taken into the craft?
There were a group of men standing in the road.
Can you describe how they appeared to you? They
were dark, shadowy forms, more or less.
Oh, I see.
Who were blocking our way so that we couldn't drive along.
Two legs, two arms?
Yes. Yeah,
something on top of the shoulders? Possibly a head or so?
Yes.
No, they look like human beings standing out there.
Yes, basically.
Fine.
Yes. And the car motor stalled. They parted and came up on each side of the car.
Yes.
And they took... I was sitting on the passenger side. They opened the door, and one man put his hand out. They led us up to the craft.
Mm-hmm.
In the meanwhile, they were promising us that no harm would come to us.
Now, how do you get into the craft? In other words, is there a ladder? Is there a stair? Or do we all of a sudden find that we're in it?
No. The craft was on the ground.
Yes.
And we approached, went up a ramp, and in the door. And,
uh-huh.
I mean, they more or less helped us along.
All right. Now, the two of you were separated.
Yes.
And you went into one examining room?
Yes.
And we assumed that Barney went in another examining room. How were the men attired at that time? Did they look like doctors to you, the man that examined you, or the men?
You mean the way he was dressed?
Yes.
Or it was in a dark outfit of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice any buttons or zippers.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing, too, this was a new experience, and it was frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't keep my eyes open all the time.
I see.
I would glance up and then shut my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Let's pick this up at this point, Betty. Another man came into the area. You thought he was a doctor, and they pushed up the sleeve of your dress. Can you pick it up from there and tell us just what happened and what they did to examine you?
They scraped my arm, and then they brought over some kind of an apparatus.
Yes.
Which I described under hypnosis as it might have been a microscope with
mm-hmm.
a camera.
Yes.
And they looked at my skin,
mm-hmm.
and they were...
And photographed an area.
This was my impression,
saying.
Yes. And they scraped my skin, examined my hands, my fingernails, my hair, eyes, ears, nose,
mm-hmm.
My feet. And then they said that they wanted to check my... they described it as some kind of checking my nervous system.
Uh-huh.
In which they attached some kind of wires, not really attached, but just touched
uh-huh.
these wires to uh-huh. different...
A neurological test, possibly.
Yes, of some type.
Right. What about the book that you wanted to take as a souvenir? Can you tell me something about that from the craft?
This was a large book. Heavy. About the size, probably, of many dictionaries. I did look at the book briefly and saw the type of writing that was in the book.
Can you describe it?
No, not really, because I don't... It was some kind of symbols. The writing did go up and down in columns.
Did they agree to permit you to take this as a souvenir of your experience?
The leader gave the book to me. But then as we were leaving the craft, there was this dissension. Mm-hmm. There was a group of men standing there.
Yes.
And they saw the book, and there was all this discussion. Then the leader came over and took the book back.
Did they ever say to you at any time or when you were leaving the craft, did they say that they might see you again? Did they extend their gratitude in any way for the experiments that they conducted on the two of you?
I invited them back. In that, they asked me several questions.
Being a good hostess, you invited them back to
no.
our planet?
No. They asked me several questions.
Yes.
I couldn't answer these questions. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want them to think that everyone in this world was as limited as I was.
Mm-hmm.
So,
could you tell me one of the questions?
Simple things. I mean, they showed me a map and asked me if I knew where the Earth was on the map, and I had to tell them no.
This was a world map.
This was like a sky map.
I see.
And I couldn't give them explanations of many of the things that they wanted to know. So I suggested that if they would come back, that there were many, many people on this earth who could meet with them and give them this information that they were seeking.
I would like to remind our listeners that the book, The Interrupted Journey, which tells the whole story about these two lost hours aboard a flying saucer, and in the current issue of Look magazine, you'll be able to read the story about Barney and Betty Hill. But just one last question. Betty, do you believe this actually happened?
Let me say this. I really wish I had some concrete evidence, such as the book. Then this would prove one way or another. We're still looking for answers as to just exactly what the explanation is.
And how about you, Barney? Do you believe it happened?
Based on what evidence we have to date, I would say yes. You have to understand, too, that I didn't want to believe in flying saucers, and yet, intellectually, I had to accept the reality of having seen something that I could not explain.
I've had the opportunity of talking with Betty and Barney Hill, the two people who lost 2 hours aboard a flying saucer. It's a strange story. I'll agree with you. But I've read the book, The Interrupted Journey, and the articles in the current issue of Look magazine, and it's a great, great story. This has been Long John Neville reporting for Monitor.
This is Henry Morgan. I listened as you did. I made up my mind. I suppose you made up yours, or maybe you're in the middle. But it wonders me, as my Pennsylvania Dutch cousins say, it wonders me how come that every time a flying saucer is sighted accurately in these United States, it's either in a Florida swamp, in Lancaster, New Hampshire, or a farm in Iowa. Aren't those people interested in our lovely cities? I should think after having made a trip that length, they could put a dime in a parking meter somewhere and look at the action. By the way, you may be interested to know that the doctor who doubted the possibility of the claims made by the Hills, he says that nothing has absolutely been proved to him regarding the alleged abduction, but that he believes that both Betty and Barney Hill told what they believed to be absolute proof. I think I got it worked out, friends. Do you remember that the Hills claim that they were shown a map of the skies and asked to locate Earth? It's quite simple. These people were lost. Pardon me, ma'am. What do you call this place again? Oh, darn it. That was a little of Tarzan by Lawrence Welk. This is H. Morgan from Monitor, back shortly on NBC stations Coast to Coast. In Winslow, Arizona, we're heard on KINO.
This is Monitor, the NBC radio network.